Good morning. I am Pastor Chris, and it's great to see you guys here. Great to see you on the stream as well. I made a big, bold promise last week that, men, I was going to teach you how to take your love and plant it into good soil. We talked about the fact that falling in love is pretty easy. A lot of you are in love. Growing in love, that is pretty rare. That's pretty tough to be able to do. And so we talked about the fact that that's because you're not planting it in good soil. And I left you with two questions. If you're new this morning, you can start to jump in on these questions right away. What's your motivation for what you do? In your relationship, what's your motivation for what you do? Why do you do it? Why do you do what you do? Is it because you do what you want to do? Like, hey, I do what I want to do. I figure out what I think is best, and I do what I want to do. Pretty bad soil. Usually ends up in you being fairly selfish and not making very good decisions. Or maybe it's the opposite. I do what she wants me to do. I do what she wants me to do. And so you're like, hey, and when you first started dating, it was awesome. She loved you for it. She thought she found the perfect guy, and it's amazing. And so you just poured into her and poured it. It was quite the adventure, wasn't it? It was just beautiful. It's amazing. But through the years, it's not so amazing anymore. There's two things that happened. One, as you pleased her, you noticed that her standard for pleasure kept going up. And up and up. The other number two things that you recognized, you blew it. There was areas that you blew it, and now you're trying to make up for it. It's no longer an adventure. As a matter of fact, you lost who you were in that process. And so now when you see her, you don't see an adventure anymore. You just see somebody you're competing with. You're trying to do better with. If it's gone really bad, you're just mad. You're just mad. You see no hope of being able to move forward. Most of us, our bad soil is we jump between the two. We go from, I'm going to do what pleases her, to forget it. I'm going to do what pleases me. To I'm going to forget. That's also how why we keep score. We keep score because you go, okay, I pleased her the last four times. It's my turn. Now I'm going to do what I want to do. Bad soil. Love does not grow in that soil. And so the basic idea here that I want to lay out for you right as we start is this. Most of our love, most of the love that you've experienced, most of the love that you fell into and that you have is emotional and physical love. What do I mean by emotional love? You saw them. And the first thing that happened to you most of the time is you were attracted to them. Like, they're attractive to me. I don't know what there is about them, but they're attractive to me. So you're attracted to them. You're physically attracted to them. And they were physically attracted to you. And wow, some pretty amazing things happen when you're physically attracted to each other. And you were also emotionally. Like, you liked the way you felt around them. And they liked the way they felt around you. And then you started doing things for each other. And you got to know each other. And you sent flowers and gifts. And you did all these emotional things. And those are great foundations for how love starts. But when bad things happen, when life gets tough, when kids come along and they won't go to sleep, that kind of love actually doesn't build. It gets stressed and begins to... And how many times have you heard people say, we fell out of love? No, you didn't. You just ran out of love because it was only this kind of love. There is another love. It's spiritual love. But spiritual love comes from your spirit and it's fed by God's spirit and it has no limits. Why? It's God's love. And God has no limits. And so I want to teach you today how to plant your seed in healthy soil. By the way, let's check on our seeds, how they do. We planted these seeds last week. This must be incredible soil, right? This must be amazing soil because these plants went nuts. I was only supposed to plant one seed per thing, but I got up here and I spilled it. And wow, we got good soil. We got plants growing. That's what we want to see happen to your love as well. And so where we're going to start is, what does God say? That's where we're going to start. What does God say? And so, men, God says this to you. Oh, by the way, today I'm talking to men. Next week I talk to women. So ladies, you don't even have to listen. You can elbow, you can do those kinds of things, but I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to him. So the first thing that God says is that you were created to be God's man. You were created to be God's man. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. You need her. Guys, you need her. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the ribs he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to him. She was taken from you and made for you. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." You were created to be God's man, united with her. That's you. So you may or may not have noticed that I wore my cowboy boots today. Yep. Now, the reason I wore my cowboy boots was actually an illustration. It's because as a man, I always wanted to be a cowboy and would one day love to still be a cowboy. Now, I tend to be on the spectrum of loving a man's man. Matter of fact, if you want to compliment me, call me a man's man, right? Even if it's not true, call me that, I'll take it, right? So that's how I'm wired. That's what and others of you, like you're along the same lines, you're a work boots man. You love to put on your work boots, go out and work on your car. You love to work on, to build things, to make them happen. Others of you, you're the jock, you love athletics, you love sports. I like to be a man's man. You love to be told you are, wow, what an athlete you are. Unbelievable. These are for the smart men. They don't have to work in the freezing rain to get their money. They make their money. They put on a suit. They like to look good. And they make their money. This guy also, he has all the characteristics. This guy, he just doesn't like to dress up. He just wears, he likes to go casual. Now, there's other shoes I didn't bring, right? I didn't bring the sandals. And you're like, hey, none of those fit me. If you're a man, there's a set of shoes that belong up here for you. This is important. As I do this talk, you're going to think sometimes that I want you to be a man's man. Because I lean that way, okay? God does not. God does not. God created you to be his man. And we come in lots of different shapes, sizes, and kind of drives, right? All of this applies to you, whether you relate to my cowboy boots or not, okay? So, that's the first thing. Here's the key to planting your soil, your seed, which, by the way, you already have the love, right? You've already fallen in love. You already in love. You already want to fall in love. And we said last week, I'm going to say it again, this applies to ministry as well. When you start ministry, when you get involved in ministry, at first, you fall in love with it. But along the way, something happens where your love has to grow. You have to have the ability to grow in love. Why? Because it gets hard and you want out. It's true in friendships, and it's true in a lot of places. We're just defining it. I'm talking about it in couples, but if you're not in a couple situation, it still applies to where you are. So, first of all, you're created to be God's man. Secondly, you are called. You're called to what may seem like an impossible adventure. You see, Christ does not call you to live a safe, boring life. This may be a shock to many of you. You see this on the TV all the time. Christ does not call you to be nice and safe. If you are living a boring, safe life, and you think you're following Christ, it's not the Christ of the Bible. He is dangerous. It's why they killed him. See, Christ is calling you to be dangerous. He's calling you to a challenging, dangerous, risk-taking, bold, mold-breaking, abundant life. And it looks like this. Wives, submit to your own husbands as you do to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. What's it mean to be the head of a wife? As Christ is the head of the church, his body. What does it mean for Christ to be the head of the church? Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. This is another passage in 1 Corinthians, talks about headship. I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the traditions just as I pass them on to you. Now at the beginning he says this, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Here's the first dangerous thing. Paul does not say, hey, don't follow me, I'll fail you. You just follow Jesus. He didn't duck. Paul said, I'm going to follow Jesus, you should follow me. I'm going to represent Christ. By following Christ, you should follow me. And then he goes on to say, but I want you to realize the head of man is Christ. What's that like for you? What does it mean that Christ is the head of me? Well, it means he's my authority. I'm going to be held responsible to follow him. You know what's the most amazing thing about it is? It's done by invitation. Not by command. And you may have been exposed to a lot of teaching that was like, God commanded, God commanded, God commanded, so you have to do it. That is not your relationship with Christ. The relationship with Christ is he invites you. Now, he's clear about what's good and wrong. He's clear about what it's going to mean if you follow him. But he invited me. And men, he invites you to follow him. He's the head. He's the authority. I follow him. I'm responsible to follow him. He is also responsible for me. He's responsible for where we end up. That may be new to you. You may think that the relationship with God is like God tells you what to do, and if you do what he tells you to do, it's all good. And if you don't, it's all bad. That's not the relationship that Jesus brought. The relationship Jesus brought was, I invite you to follow me, and once you say yes, Jesus says, I am now responsible for you. Where we end up is my responsibility. That's amazing. That's headship. And the head of the woman is the man. Which means this, men. One, you better have an adventure to invite her on. You have to be going somewhere so you can invite her to come with you. If you want to plant it in good soil, it's going to be, oh, I'm following Jesus. This is where we're going. But you have to have an adventure. And you have to take responsibility for where you end up. If you've traded in your adventure for safe and peace and making your wife happy, you have no place left to lead her. As a matter of fact, there's a really good chance you're mad at her. Why? Because you keep trying to please her and you just can't do it. You're exhausted. Instead of lead her by following Christ. And the head of Christ is God. So, if you've been given authority and you've been given responsibility, what are you supposed to do with it? What's it look like? How do you know how to carry this out? You can't look anywhere in our culture. Our culture hates this idea. It hates all authority. Nobody tells me what to do. Well, what did Jesus do with his authority and with his power? He humbled himself. He said, I get my authority from the Father. This is not about me. The Father loves the people. And he has given me authority so that I can save the people. And so he humbled himself. And he did whatever it would take based on what the Father said was good. He did whatever it would take to set those people free. To set you and I free. And over again, when you read the scriptures, Jesus is full of authority and power. And what does he say over and over again? I do what I do because that's what the Father told me to do. I do what I do because that's what the Father said to do. I do what I do because that's what the Father does. He did not consider, what do I think I need to do? Did God the Father put me in this position because I'm so wise and smart and amazing? No. No. It's because the Father has called me to do an amazing thing. And the Father, men, has called the Son, and the Son has called you. He has called you to be his instrument to do what it says next. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. To love is to do what's best for the other person no matter what it costs you. But how do you know what's best? Well, you know what's best by seeking your head, which is Christ. That's how you know. You do not do what's best according to what you think is best. That will turn into a disaster. You do what is best based on what Christ has called you to do. Now, why did I say this seems almost impossible? Listen to what he's called you to do. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without any stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So let me ask you this. For the woman that you've fallen in love with, or the woman that you are in love with, or the woman that you one day hope to fall in love with, let me ask you this. Does she need Does she need to be cleansed from her sin? Does she need someone to come along and help her to be washed by the water through the Word? Does she need someone to help her take the Word of God and be able to go, okay, I see what is true. I can pull out those lies. I can get rid of them. I can put the truth into my life. I can be free from the lies and the abuse and the ugly things that have happened in my life because I'm now going to replace what I used to worship with Christ. Does she need that? Does she need somebody to lead her to the truth? Does she need somebody to train her in the truth? Does she need somebody to model the truth? Does she need somebody who will never bend the knee to compromise, but will only stand for Christ? I know what some of you are thinking. Wait a minute. That's what my wife does toward me. That's fortunate. But God has called you to that role. Now, I'm not trying to teach you how to have a good marriage here. I'm trying to teach you how to plant seed in good soil so that when the hard times come, it can grow. So when you've been together for 5, 10, or 15 years, you don't just settle into this contract of we're not going to get a divorce, but we're not full of joy. No, I want to teach you how to be in a place where your love can really, truly grow. And God has called you to be Christ to that woman. I want you to think about this. We live in a culture that says, listen, anybody can be that kid's dad. No, only you can be that kid's dad. You're dad. And guess what? Only you can be that man in that woman's life. That's what Christ has called you to do. And you think, oh, it doesn't matter. If you don't do it, she has no head. She's left alone. The next piece is, I'm just going to say it, and we're going to keep moving. You're culpable to God for your wife. What do I mean? Culpable means you're responsible for action. That's what it means. And you're like, well, you know, I get to choose. I can do what I want to do, or I can live my life to please my wife. I just want you to know as a man, because men love to be challenged, you're going to answer for whether or not you said yes to this call, or you just said, hey, I'm just trying to get along. So, in the cowboy theme, take a look at this video.
A real man, Brad, a real man is born to serve. Period. And we can't lose that. Masculinity to protect and to serve and to help. But if we spend all of our time isolated in our gym and isolated in our booth at our laptop trying to make money, and isolated in you know, our study, reading the Art of War of Marcus Aurelius and reading all this stuff, and we're by ourselves all the time improving ourselves, then our improvements, we can get to the best we can get, we want it with a net zero.
Sent this to a friend of mine. I said, what do you think? He goes, that's good. But I wonder how you would serve your wife, but not in a church way. I didn't follow up, so I don't know for sure this is what he meant, but this is what I think he meant. How do you do that in the real world? How do you serve your wife in the real world? Well, you do it by answering the call of Christ. And it looks like this. You consider your wife. And when you consider your wife, you see the enemies that are after her. Christopher and I were, my son's Christopher, we were talking this week, and we're talking about something else. He told me, he reminded me of a story I had forgotten about. When he was 17, this had a huge impact on his life. When he was 17, we were at a church softball game. Church softball game, the fence is on the side, and the third baseman, I'm pretty sure it was Brent, but this guy's playing third base, and something happened on the sidelines where another guy cursed at his wife. He jumped the fence and knocked the guy out. Now, some of you like, oh, that's not nice. It's because you don't know Jesus. See, if you consider your wife, then you will see the enemies that are after her. You will not see the woman who needs to meet all your needs. You will see the enemies that are after her. And understand, God has called you to be the guy who jumps the fence and knocks out the enemy. That's your role. That's what you've been called to do. That's what it means to be the head. You see, you will see the fear that stalks her. You will see the materialism that swirls all around her and maybe has grabbed her heart. You'll see the lies that started when she was a little girl and her dad said things to her no dad should ever say. Or maybe dad wasn't there at all. You will see the ugly things that float around in her heart, in her head, that tell her, you're ugly, you're nothing, you're never going to be anything. You have to keep up with these people. You'll see it. You will see what Jesus sees. You will see the person that Jesus died for and be able to go, oh my goodness, Jesus called me to connect him to her. That's what I'm here for. And your heart will explode. And your love will grow. It might be one of the hardest times in your relationship ever. It might be one of the times where, like, she's just not loving you well at all. If you will consider your wife from Christ's perspective and see Christ's heart and give Christ your heart, you will see she is surrounded by enemies. And you have been called to jump the fence and knock out the enemies. That is the impossible, amazing adventure you've been called to. What's it look like? Well, first of all, we said it before. It means you're going to invite her to follow you. You invite her on your adventure. Now listen, this is important about leading. Really important about leading. So many of us guys, we talk to our wife, what do you think? It's okay. I do this with Lori. Lori's really smart. She's beyond this. I'm like, okay, we're thinking about what do you think about buying this house? And she goes, Chris, I'm not going to give you permission to buy the house. If you buy the wrong house, it's your fault. I'm not going to step into this like, oh, we're all equal on this decision here. So what? Why do I do that? Because when I make a bad decision, I want her to take the blame with me. Right? Right? When you lead, you step out and she stays there. It's like a rubber band. And you take another step and that rubber band gets tight. And when you're a wimp, you walk back. You give up your adventure. You stop following Christ. You go 50-50 so you can feel comfortable. But when you answer the call of God, you can't go back because you're connected to Christ. and he isn't backing up. He has set the direction. This is where we're going. And you're going to follow Christ. When you give your heart to Christ, he allows you to see the enemies. He gives you the courage to go, no, this is where we need to go. And every great leader has to be alone in decisions until she comes. You set direction, live from purpose, practice the values, what we will and will not live by. What do I mean? A value is, one of the great values is, hey, when we run into trouble, we're going to find out what the Bible says, and whatever the Bible says, that's what we're going to do. Well, yeah, but what about Oprah? No, we don't care what Oprah says. We don't care. What about the experts? We don't care what the experts say. This is what the Bible says, so this is what we're going to do. As we finish up, I just want you to take a look at this video of this is the struggles that we go through and how we interact with it.
It's hard to love each other when we say no. When we say no to God, when we say no to what we believe is what we know more than what we believe, what we know is the right thing to do, what's best in that particular situation. The more we say no, the more challenging it becomes. When we choose to say yes, things become a lot easier. Things are a lot easier when we choose to say yes, because it's no longer an issue of what I feel should be done for me or to me or what I feel I deserve, but it's more a choice of how I will respond to whatever situation is going, and my response should be in love. And so when I'm disobedient with that, things get difficult. When I choose to be obedient, things get straightened out.
It's when we argue with each other, when we both think we're right, and we both expect an apology from each other. And that moment is like, we both look at each other and like, we both think we're right, but we both probably wrong at the same time.
When it's hard to love each other is when we don't find common ground.
It can get hard sometimes when you're living life, you know, you're living day to day, and you have your trials and your tribulations, you have your issues, and you have your stressors, and you rely on this, on the person that you love, my wife, I rely on her for that support. But you sometimes forget that some of the things that are stressing you, that are impacting you, are also impacting her.
And I think through all of those moments in our lives and friction that we've had, you know, it just kind of allowed us to question, you know, prior to being married, do we really want to be with each other? And you know, both of us had continuously said yes, and once we got married, that was the official yes, and that was being in covenant with God. And you know, it's just been a blessing that we've been able to practice that prior to marriage, and it has made some of the difficult times during our marriage much easier. And also, you know, as we continue to grow, there's always going to be something that comes at.
But the opposite to that is when it's easy to fall in love is when like you're fully just giving yourself to God, and it, for me, is truly loving her the way God loves her and seeing her the way God loves her. It's so easy to say, I love this woman, it doesn't matter. I know every one of her flaws, but I know everything that God has, all the things that she's been doing through just being obedient to God, and it just makes it super easy to love. Yeah.
So will you answer the call? That's the question. Will you answer the call? You may be here this morning and you're like, hey, I've blown it. I've blown it over and over again. There's no way I'll ever be that man again. That's why Christ came and died. Christ wants to change your heart. He wants to change you and change your character and make you into that man. You may be here this morning and you have played half and half for so long, you can't imagine getting out. And you're like, I got a plan to get out. Drop the plan. It won't work. There's only one question. Will you give your heart to Christ? Will you give your life to Christ? Will you give your relationship to Christ? And be able to go, God, whatever you call me to do, you're the authority of my life. I'm going to follow you step for step. I'm going to do it. Would you take that step this morning? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being my head. Thank you for being our leader and our authority and only doing what's best for us. Thank you for inviting us as men into this journey. It scares the daylights out of me to give you everything. I'm afraid of what you're going to do with it. But I do know it's the only good soil. I want what you want. I want to be that man for Lori. Men, he's calling. He's inviting. Will you step in? In your name we pray. Amen.